Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. I do truly appreciate everybody who listens and hope that you enjoy the show enough to want to tell others to listen in as well. As I'm sure you would agree, there are some really, really impactful stories being shared here on this show from some really passionate guests, and it's important that whoever the Lord intends to hear those testimonies is given that chance. So do let those you know who would benefit from the witness that guests are giving each week know about this show, and that's regardless of whether they are Catholic or not, or whether they are into sports or not. I encourage you and them to visit the show website, which is catholicsportsradio.net, where you'll find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also sign up there for the weekly email newsletter that I'm starting and is getting sent out each Monday morning. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Coaches will often be heard talking about the next game. Even in the NHL playoffs, Tampa Bay Lightning coach John Cooper, after a win, was saying, "It's still just one game. We're here to win a series." Moreover, when teams get beaten badly, you'll often hear a coach reminding the media and their players that they need to put it behind them. The coach will say that they didn't do what they needed to and that it's going to sting, but the team needs to overcome their poor play and try to move on to do better in the next game. In our faith life, we need to have our guard up for attempts to defeat us. In 1 John chapter 4, talking about spirits that do not acknowledge Jesus, we read in verse 4, quote, "You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is into the world," end quote. And yes, that's where the lyric in the Mercy Me song, "Greater," comes from. So friends, listen for our Heavenly Father's voice, follow Him, do not succumb to the evil spirits, and remember that win or lose, God is with you at all times. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is an elite marathon runner, having competed in the Boston Marathon, the U.S. Track and Field Marathon Championships in California, and winning the 2017 Maine Marathon, which qualified her for the 2020 Olympic Marathon Trials. She currently coaches cross-country and outdoor track at a Catholic high school in Maine. She was also the head women's basketball coach at an NCAA Division III school for 4 years. This all followed a career as a student athlete that culminated with her having played college basketball for 4 years at the University of Maine, serving as a captain in both her junior and senior seasons after the team had made the NCAA tournament in her freshman and sophomore years. In high school, she had been Female Athlete of the Year and earned MVP honors in 3 sports. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Tracy Garrett.
Thank you, Bruce. It's nice to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tracy. Let's go ahead and have you talk about the Catholic family you grew up in, as well as how very prevalent the faith was in the geographic area where you were brought up.
Yes, I'm from Maine, and you know, Maine's a very large state, and I'm from a beautiful area up in northern Maine. It's called the St. John Valley, and it really is. It's a small Catholic, tight-knit community. You know, the faith is such a rich part of who we are. It's deeply embedded in the tradition of the people. We're both Acadians and we're Quebecois. And so the people that came from France and eventually either went to Canada, came from Quebec, and settled into the northern part of the state of Maine, you know, brought their sense of work ethic. They were farmers, but most importantly, they brought their tradition of their faith. And so, yes, the Catholic faith is very, very prevalent. It's the center of what we do. You know, growing up in a small town called St. Agatha, we everything revolved around the church and the liturgical year. And, you know, even to this day, the students there in the high schools up in the St. John Valley actually go and receive catechism during the day. And so they'll leave the school, go to the church for a time during the day, and receive like instruction on the faith. And so it's just a really deep part of who we are, and it's just very beautiful, and I'm so blessed to have been brought up there in that part of the state.
And if I recall correctly from my preparations for this, I think I connected it with my situation. I believe that you are the youngest of three kids. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. I'm the youngest of three, an only girl. And so my two older brothers, you know, one's much, much older than I was and got married early. And so I was an aunt at a young age, and my other brother as well. So both are married with four children each. And so I was blessed to grow up with my nieces and nephews and was always the fun, cool aunt. You know, I got to do and spend time with them and just kind of spoil them and love on them and then send them back to their parents at the end of the day. And so, yeah, that was just such a great blessing. And, you know, my parents had me when they're older. And so, you know, I'm still discerning my vocation. And so living the single life and so being the youngest and only girl, I'm very close to my parents. I consider them my best friends. And, you know, I try to do the best I can to be present and to care for them. And so, yeah, I was just really blessed with an upbringing. And one of the things I received, especially from my brothers and my parents, was a work ethic, but also athletics. You know, my parents weren't athletes at all. And they grew up, both of them grew up on farms. So my grandfathers are both potato farmers.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just really beautiful. Yeah, and the faith was very prevalent in the family as well. You know, my grandfather, both of them were very devout men. And my mother used to tell me stories about how my grandfather would sing the Latin Mass in the field as he worked.
Whoa.
Super beautiful. Yeah, and stop and pray the Angelus throughout the day. And so, yeah, again, this like rich tradition of just who we are, and especially in the family. You know, the best gift my parents gave me was my Catholic faith.
Yeah, I wanted the audience to know that Tracy actually considers her parents to be saints. I want you to talk about that, Tracy, including what your mother did on your parents' wedding day before meeting your father at the altar.
Yes, you know, I think my parents actually met on a blind date. They went and visited a priest. Like, that was their date. So it kind of, like, sets the stage for just the most important things in their life, which was their faith. They've been married for 55 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And really, the church and the Catholic faith has been, like, the centerpiece. You know, that sacrament of marriage has been the centerpiece of our family. But you know, both were very faithful. Both were, again, grew up on farming families. And so, you know, they kind of had that in common. But on their wedding day, my mother was a part of this society called the Children of Mary, Les Enfants de Jésus. It's French where I'm from. So it was a kind of French-like Society of Mary. But one of the traditions was, prior to meeting my father at the altar, the bride would go and kneel before a statue of Our Lady. And so my mother did so, and she consecrated her future daughter to Mary, which is amazing. And so, not even thinking about my brothers, right? And she thought about her future daughter and consecrated her future daughter to Mary and prayed that I would have a faith greater than her own, prayed for my vocation, and prayed for just the protection of my purity as well. And, you know, throughout my life, I'm continuing to discern my vocation to religious life. And I say, Mom, you know, it's your fault. Not in a bad way, but, you know, just the graces that I received to be entrusted to Mary at that point in my life. And then my mother continued and met my father at the altar. And so that was their wedding day, like the highlight of their wedding day.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And interestingly, sports-wise, you actually started playing basketball at a very, very young age and then later got into martial arts, only to later put that aside in favor of four other sports.
Yeah. I did, yeah. I guess I had a lot of energy as a child, and I'm very thankful to my parents to kind of like support me and encourage me. I think they saw the gift of sport in me at a young age, and just kind of, you know, wanted to foster that and bring out the fruit of my gifts, which is such a beautiful gift that they gave me. But yes, I was 4 years old, started playing basketball, and back during that time, I'm not incredibly old, but back during that time, there weren't many opportunities for young women, you know, to play on teams. And so I played on an all boys team, a little peewee basketball team. And I remember even as a little 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, we would travel and play these games. And, you know, the boys would go in and do their thing and they'd come out and I would go change by myself. And, but you know, it really gave me, just a beautiful foundation. I had phenomenal coaches who, again, the faith was like the center point of what they were doing. I had these beautiful Catholic coaches. And so, yeah, I was really, really well coached, both, you know, on the basketball court, but also in the faith during that time. And yes, I did play, and I played all sports, and I was in Taekwondo at an early age as well. And My brother was the one who wanted to be in Taekwondo, and I kind of cried and wanted my way and wanted to like tag along. And my brother ended up quitting within a couple weeks, and I stuck with it. And yeah, I received my black belt at the age of 10.
Hmm.
But then got really busy. When I got into middle school, just playing multiple sports, I got really busy and had to kind of let that go. But, you know, growing up in a small town, going to a small high school, it's kind of like what you have to do. And so we have to play all the sports, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a beautiful gift. And I have a lot of thoughts about how student athletes tend to focus on just one sport. And having coached at the college level, a college coach would kind of recommend a young athlete to just to enjoy being a young athlete. And I think playing multiple sports really sets that person up to be a better athlete specifically later on in life. So I was, again, very blessed to be able to play like all the sports that I did.
Well, I mentioned in the intro that you excelled in high school athletics, but let's jump ahead to college because you earned a full scholarship to play Division I basketball at the University of Maine and actually ended up having a huge conversion as a 19-year-old, as a sophomore.
Good. Yes, despite the fact that I grew up in such a tight-knit, beautiful Catholic community, the faith was, it was just prevalent and it was really lived. We lived the liturgical year, but it was still kind of something my parents owned and it wasn't really personal to me. And so, moving on to college, I remember one day we had missionaries on campus and one of them visited a practice and we weren't really paying attention to what she was saying, but I heard the word free. And apparently she asked who wanted a free Bible. And as a college athlete, when you hear the word free, I probably thought it was food. So I raised my hand and he took my information. And I had forgotten about that. And honestly, a couple months later, I remember it was a February cold day. I had practice that night. And I was getting ready to take a nap in my dorm room. And there was a knock on my door. And I was kind of almost annoyed because I'm like, I want to take a nap. I have practice later on this evening. But I looked through the people and it was this young missionary lady and, she just was so persistent. She wouldn't go away. She kept knocking on my door and I let her in. And I attribute that to the Lord knocking on the door of my heart throughout my life, just really pursuing me in such a way and, throughout my life. And that day I let him in and really kind of, embraced a relationship with Christ and let her in. And she shared the gospel message with me and I was sold out. I was like, yes. And so it was like a tangible point in my life where it was a huge conversion. And from that time, I was just on fire for the Lord as a student athlete in college.
Wow. I'm getting chills here as you're saying this. It's wow. That's really, especially because, we do hear so many student athletes that go off to college and they're just focused on their sport and they do forget about their faith.
Right.
And those knocks on the door are unanswered or go away. Or it's, I let him in long enough just to humor him, but, I had no interest. So that's tremendous. This is really something. Talk about mixing faith and sports. Wow. Through Athletes in Action, you played on various missionary basketball teams, which, by the way, audience, included Tracy traveling to Nigeria and also being a player/assistant coach of a team that went to Brazil. But Tracy, share with the audience about what the missionary basketball team would do pregame as well as either at halftime or following the game.
That's right. I was really blessed when I graduated from college. Athletes in Action, it's a part of Campus Crusade for Christ. It's a beautiful athletic ministry, and they have this thing called an exhibition team, which was made up of professional athletes and also the former Division I athletes. And we traveled throughout the country. And we played, so initially when I graduated, we played teams like Indiana, Michigan. We went down to Arizona and we played Tennessee. So, we were a very talented team, if you can imagine. But we would meet with the collegiate team prior to the game. We would eat their pregame meal with them. We would share witness talk. We would share the gospel, just like building relationships. And then during either halftime or after the game, we would kind of give a blip, share like a gospel message with the crowd. And I can remember, I was actually asked to do that at Tennessee. And Pat Summitt was obviously still there at the time. And really, in my own strength, I am not good enough to play against a powerhouse like Tennessee. But by the grace of God, playing on this team, it was such a blessing to be able to like share my faith. Mm. And Coach Summitt actually kept her team there. So after the game, sometimes the teams would leave the court, but she kept her team there.
Wow.
And there was like thousands of people in the crowd. Yes, it was such a blessing to be able to, to give a witness talk to the Tennessee team and to the crowd there. And I was able to meet Pat Summitt afterward too and just kind of exchange some words. But Athletes in Action is a beautiful ministry. And athletics is such a great platform to share the gospel. And so the times where I've traveled to Africa and to Brazil, We did a lot of just clinics, you know, humanitarian work with the people, just building relationship with them, loving on them. In Brazil, we played against their national team, which was amazing. And after that game, I got to share the gospel with the national team as well. And so it's like more than the opportunity to play and travel to these different countries. The thing that was such the greatest gift to me was be able to like share Christ.
Yeah, I mean, the part about having a pregame meal with the other team, that part alone, you know, really kind of raised an eyebrow with me, because I thought, wow, that's kind of, you know, taboo, that you think, oh my gosh, you know, this is someone that you're about to quote unquote go into battle with, and you're supposed to have a healthy respect. But of course, it's, you know, we want to beat this team. And there you were having a pregame meal together.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for the most part, the young women are very open. The student athletes were. And so, you know, I think it's a huge attribute to the coaches of those teams. So again, you know, Michigan, Tennessee, Arizona, Indiana, like all these different teams, and the coaches being open and willing for us to come in as a missionary team, an exhibition team, a very competitive exhibition team. But yeah, just to be open to that as well is a huge blessing.
Well, knowing folks what you have heard from Tracy so far, as well as what I read off in the intro, are you ready for a curveball and hearing the word convent introduced to the conversation about Tracy's journey through both sports and faith? Indeed, that really is the case. It's also a reality that I don't get any income from doing Catholic Sports Radio, nor do I have any sponsors. It's also true that this is all just me, meaning no staff, no volunteers, no interns. So all the work that goes into operating this ministry on and off the air falls solely on me. And with that comes the very real challenge of trying to deal with the many expenses that come with running all things Catholic Sports Radio. And I have cited numerous examples, specific amounts, over a lot of episodes of this show. My goal is to help move people further in their faith life through the mix of faith and sports, getting people who have fallen away to start going back to church, or inspiring those who do go on Sunday, but only so that they can check the box and say they went, or sending those who are on fire for the Lord even deeper into their faith. If I deliver something that moves the needle for one or more members of the audience in your faith life, then praise God for using me in this ministry as the vehicle to do that. Is that you? Has that happened for you? Do you see value in what I do through Catholic Sports Radio? Do you enjoy listening each week? I have been blessed to have guests and listeners alike make a financial contribution to my ministry to help support Catholic Sports Radio. From my heart, I ask you to please consider doing the same. I wish I didn't have to, but I'm at a place where the expenses are a challenge for me to take out of my own pocket. On the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button that guests and listeners alike have used to send me securely online whatever amount feels most comfortable. There's no drop-down menu of preset amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you want. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead get in touch with me by sending an email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will personally write you back with the details on sending a check through the mail. Of course, as you have heard me do as recently as 2 and 3 weeks ago by mentioning a couple recent guests' names, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. What you're hearing me do right now is something that I ask for each week on the show because there truly is a need. I don't just say it and move on. I am sincere in my appeal. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do as it relates to supporting my ministry through a financial contribution. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Tracy, talk about Curcio, as well as the death of Pope John Paul II, and how those two events were reversions for you back to the Catholic faith.
Yes, absolutely. You know, like I had mentioned, I was growing in my faith in college, but it was through a Protestant ministry, but they do wonderful, wonderful work, Campus Crusade. But what happened is, while I was understanding, you know, scripture, spending, you know, daily time with the Lord, and I was surrounded by a great Christian community that really protected me through my time in college as a student athlete, I was growing away from the Catholic faith. And I think, you know, it wasn't really well, like I knew my faith, but as far as defending it, you know, of course, as a young girl, like I didn't know how to do that well. And so when I graduated from college, I actually moved back to my hometown and my parents had done their Cursillo, and I knew people that had done it. And I remember asking my mother, what happens there? And of course, she wouldn't share it with me and wanted me to experience it. So I did. And that's actually where I met my best friend who kind of spurred on my discernment of my vocation. But no, Cursillo was such a blessing because for the first time in my life, it's I think my heart and my eyes and my mind were open to like the truths of the faith. I'm like, wow, Catholics believe this as well, you know? And it really spurred on this kind of like path where I was taking all the, you know, the teachings of the church, the Eucharist. Okay, that's truth. Communion of saints. Okay, wonderful. You know, the dogmas of Our Lady. Okay, yeah, that's truth. It really spurred me on to kind of dive even deeper. And yes, I attribute a huge reversion back to the faith during just kind of that time where Pope John Paul II was gravely ill and then he passed away in 2005. I remember watching it all transfold and the rosary was being prayed live on the news stations, you know? And I remember thinking, that's amazing. Like, this is worldwide. Like, this is Catholic. It's universal. Like, this is truth.
Yeah.
And it just kind of solidified it for me. And yeah, and just understanding, you know, the role of Mary in my life and how I had been consecrated to her on my parents' wedding day. I had visited Medjugorje as an 8-year-old. We took a family pilgrimage there too. And the graces I received in Medjugorje are still being unpacked to this day. And so Mary has always been there and I've been enfolded in her mantle and she's just been guiding me and protecting me. And it kind of just was a revelation right at that time. And so, yeah, I attribute it to, I love, he's one of my favorites, Pope John Paul II. And so I attribute it to just his intercession for me.
And folks, if you have looked at the Meet the Host section of the CatholicSportsRadio.net website where it says About, or you've heard me talk about it on some episodes, I made my Cursillo weekend as well and can't say enough good things about the Cursillo movement, and now you're hearing it from Tracy as well. I mentioned in the intro, Tracy, that you served for 4 years as head women's basketball coach at an NCAA Division III school, but what I did not mention was that the 4 years after that, you became the director of basketball operations at the University of Maine, yet you resigned so you could pursue religious life.
I did. Yeah, just really quick, my best friend who I met in Cursillo, we spurred each other on in the faith, and she was discerning her vocation, and I was able to walk along that journey with her. You know, the day in and day out of her discerning and writing and visiting communities, and it really like sparked something in my heart. And I'm the one that drove her down to New York City. She entered with the Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal in New York City. And I dropped her off, had tea, of course, right? We have tea with the sisters. And then drove 10 hours back to Maine. And throughout those 10 hours, I was just contemplating what she had done. She entered with a small bag and just her like love for the Lord and that radical gift of self, like complete gift of self to enter into religious life, like made me start to take it seriously, like sparked something in my heart. Yeah, and then, you know, during that time, I was at the University of Maine at Presque Isle. I was a head Division III coach, sports information director. But I was secretly, I didn't mention this to you, but I was secretly visiting convents. It's funny. So I would go off for like several days, like 4 or 5 days, and visit like the Sisters of Life and then meet my team up in like Massachusetts.
Wow.
And it's really neat. The players would be like, Coach, wow, you're glowing. Where were you? But it was so close to my heart at that time. Only my family, my close family knew that I was discerning kind of seriously. And, you know, after those 4 years at the Division III school, I really wanted to like take time off and really discern and enter. But then this opportunity to go coach at the University of Maine, which is my alma mater, which is Division I. And so if you think about like the pinnacle, the highest thing you could do as a coach, the college coach is coach at the Division I level, especially in my alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see if I would enjoy it. So yeah, so I started being the director of basketball operations at UMaine, but still there was a restlessness in my heart. And I had had a conversation with the head coach who hired me about just my desire for religious life. And, you know, and he had shared with me that he had considered seminary as well. He was Presbyterian, but he had considered being a pastor. But then said that, you know, as a coach, you have such a great influence on a young person's life as a coach, and you really do. It's talk about a beautiful platform. But there was still a restlessness. And so I remember the day I walked into his office and resigned and said, you know, I have this deep desire in my heart and I have to really pursue what the Lord's calling me to. And so the day I resigned, the day after, I was on a plane heading down to Nashville, and was entering one of their week-long come and see discernment retreats. And so, yeah, so I headed down to the Nashville Dominicans to discern my vocation. I was discerning multiple communities, But I ended up entering with the National Dominicans in 2013.
But you can continue with that because I want folks to hear how things went in Nashville.
Yeah, it was a difficult, you know, it was a difficult decision. I was discerning the Sisters of Life, the Ann Arbor Dominicans. They're so beautiful. Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. There's Carmelites in Los Angeles as well that I was discerning. And so, but I really felt called. I love the apostolate of the Dominican Sisters. I love teaching, obviously, and I love everything about Dominican spirituality. You know, St. Dominic, they say, was the athlete of Christ. And so I entered in August of 2013 on the Feast of Our Lady, or the Assumption. But I just, throughout that time, you know, I was embracing religious life every day, but it became clear to me that I wasn't called to that specific community. And it was very challenging. You know, others were, I saw my other sisters flourishing and becoming more fully alive and most fully like who they were, living this life. And I just was kind of withering and dying, and not in a bad sense. It's not the community, but the grace wasn't there. And it was hard to discern because I love the community. I love the life. I love the structure of the life. It reminded me a lot about being a Division I athlete. You know, I love the prayer life, the contemplation, the fact that they're contemplative, active. I loved learning theology. Thought of teaching was very appealing, but it just, yeah, it just became really obvious to me. And so the beautiful thing about religious life, anything I would tell a young lady if she was discerning religious life to that point is that you need to enter. It's the same thing with the young man and the priesthood. You know, you can only discern so much from the outside. You just need to enter and to embrace it. And you're free. You know, the beautiful thing is that I was free. And you have your, you know, you have the novice mistress, you have the sisters in the community that help you discern as well. And so it was this conversation between our novice mistress and myself. And, you know, so I'm not discerning by myself.
Yeah.
And I really realized that that's not where the Lord was calling me. And for this time of my life, I felt like he's given me the grace to live my faith most fully in the world. So I discerned to leave, and I left December of that year. So I was there for almost 6 months.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm glad that you gave that advice, though, because I do like that perspective of you can only discern so much from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you also use the word free in there. And let's not forget that earlier on in this conversation, you said that your ears perked up as a college student when you heard free, because it was a free Bible that was being given out. And I can't help but think that there's some kind of connection there. But let's continue on here, and let's turn away from basketball. And then you say that when you discerned out of Nashville now, so we're going to put basketball and Nashville both behind us. You say that when you discerned out of Nashville, there became an ease to running, and it became your time with the Lord. And to you, running is contemplative.
It is, yes. The morning that I entered Nashville, the Dominicans, I went for a hard run on a treadmill in the hotel room, and I just was like sprinting. It's almost like I was running toward the Lord. And I remember thinking, you know, this is going to be the last time that I'm able to kind of recreate in this way. We recreated every day. It's a very balanced life with the Dominicans, and so we were out, you know, playing games every day, but it wasn't like a focused, you know, specific thing that I was doing, like running. But I remember thinking, Lord, I love athletics so much. Like, it's such a gift, but I love you more. And I'm willing to lay down this gift in order to pursue you most fully, you know, and give my life to you. And so, you know, I entered. And then when I left, it was remarkable. You know, the Lord is so generous, and everything we surrender to him, he gives us back 100-fold, right? And when I left and came back, I was able to run with ease. It's such a gift. It's a miracle, really. I remember running, like starting to run. I was running 10 miles, 12 miles, 13 miles, 15 miles. And there was such an ease to it. And it almost kind of like, yeah, it shifted. And it really became, it's running. I could talk about the theology of running, but for me specifically, but it's such like a contemplative thing. You know, my heart's connected to heaven when I run. I really truly feel the Lord's pleasure when I run, like Eric Little, right? Chariots of Fire. And so it just became that to me. And it was such a gift that the Lord gave back to me. And here we have ourselves today where running is my passion. Yeah.
Well, and there's something else, audience, that I want Tracy to talk about, and not in a, oh, that's a nice coincidence, what a fun story kind of way, but more in another testimony to the mix of faith and sports. Tracy, talk to us about the Boston Marathon in 2018 and meeting someone who has been a guest of mine here on Catholic Sports Radio.
Running is such a gift, and so I've since like competed in marathons. And I think I was born to run. Honestly, I think it's a gift that I've always had. And I just figured I worked hard and I beat all the boys on the playground in elementary school. And I just thought I was athletic, but it's a gift that I think the Lord came and made it more flourishing in my life. So the marathon was like kind of a natural thing that I was drawn to. And, you know, as a marathoner, there's a lot of preparation and a lot of miles to be run. And so the training is arduous. But also on the spiritual side, I make sure that I'm, you know, going to daily mass. Before the race, I go to confession, and I'm speaking to my spiritual director, and my spiritual director, you know, talks to me about offering up my suffering and united with the suffering of Christ. And so I see running, like every mile is offered up as a prayer for people and every step. And so that 2018 Boston Marathon was, I was pretty fit and I was looking to run a 2-hour and 40-minute marathon. I was ready for it. And coming, like lo and behold, it was the worst day weather-wise at the Boston Marathon. It was about 35 degrees and torrential downpours and like 25 mile an hour headwind. So I was blessed to start with the elite athletes. So I had a time that I had ran earlier, a 2:43 marathon that allowed me to run with like all these women that I looked up to, like all these Olympians. I'm like running with them. I was able to stick with them for a couple miles because the pace was so slow. Granted, it was like a 6-minute pace, which for them was really slow. For me, I was working really hard, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay with them. But eventually they took off. And I was running all by myself, which does not happen. The Boston Marathon, for those that know it, there's 35 people that run. You're surrounded with people the whole time. It's very much like Hebrews 12, you know, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You're just surrounded by people cheering you on and surrounded by people running. And so I turned right and I was heading up Heartbreak Hill. I don't know, for those of you that know the Boston Marathon, there's some hills in Newton, Mass that are very famous, very challenging. Between miles 17 and 21. And there's three different hills that you have to go up, recover, go up, recover, go up, recover. And all of a sudden I'm running, you know, again, by myself, like praising the Lord. And I hear somebody yelling at me from the side. And this person saying, crucify him, crucify him, which my friend says she didn't say, but that's what I heard. And so it was my friend Samantha Kelly, who I had never met before. We had only kind of talked on the phone. And she was encouraging me to offer up my suffering and my praise and unite it with the Lord, you know, as a prayer for others, for the conversion of souls. And so, yeah, that's the first time I heard Samantha Kelly, like in the meter. And she actually appeared like throughout my time. She was like taking the T or taking like taxis to meet me at certain places on the course. But yeah, it was like really encouraging to me at that point in the race.
And for those of you that don't know, Samantha Kelly was a guest on the show back in October on episode 140, if you want to go back and listen to my conversation with her. Tracy, I mentioned in the intro that you coach cross country and outdoor track at a Catholic high school in Maine. As we get set to close, share with us your thoughts about the purpose and nature of sport and how it can be used as a platform for sharing the gospel message and making a difference in the lives of youth.
Amen. I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, being a coach in the life of a youth, they say it's the most influential relationship that a young person would have, you know, sometimes even more than the parent. And athletics, there's so many parallels between the Christian life and athletics as well. And so it's such a wonderful platform to share the gospel and to be a positive influence for eternity in the life of a young person. Yeah, and I have a lot of thoughts on how sport and running specifically, and just kind of like the nature of sport, of how, you know, the purpose of it is to grow in virtue, to grow in character. It's very contemplative, like I've talked about. It's very Eucharistic. Even, you know, thinking about running specifically, it's body and soul. And so you're offering your whole body and soul, you know, and what you're doing as like a gift of self. And there's a suffering that's involved, and you're kind of like entering into the suffering and this like contemplation when you run. There's a receptivity when you run as well, like and in sport as well, like you're competing, and there's like an openness, there's a dependency that you have to like receive. And I really truly believe like that gift of sport that God has given us is, you know, the gift of sport from the divine giver allows us to more fully commune with that giver, if that makes sense. And so it's just this like platform that one could really enter into that relationship with God through. It's liturgical. I don't know, there's just so, I'm just really passionate about like faith and sport, and there's like so many different connections that you can make. But yeah, especially with young people, you know, I really, they're really a gift to me. The young people that I coach, you know, the high schoolers, and just to be able to, at the very least, just to be able to be Christ to them and to be present to them and to love on them. And hopefully point them, you know, towards the greater good of what like athletics and sports give us as well.
Amen. Amen. Such wonderful testimony, Tracy. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed the conversation. God bless you with all that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Ruth. It was wonderful to be here. God bless you as well.
And folks, as a nod to Tracy and all the time that she has spent as an athlete, let's close with a prayer this week that is for athletes. And do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life. In all I do, I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.